The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Next, experiencing the supernatural power of God.
The coal's on the altar, and now he's got to go out and bless people, only he's been struck down. He can't say a word, so he goes out, and he begins holy charades, like, you know, like this, and this, and then this, you know? Is anybody going there with me?
Prayer and believing God, next on Life Today.
Thank you so much. I'm James Robinson. Betty and I welcome you to the Wednesday program we refer to as Wednesdays with Beth. And she's talking about prayer and about believing God, and Beth understands exactly what that means. I know you're going to be blessed by listening to her. I want to mention something. We've got the Kingdom Life prayer journal that gives you the references from Psalms and Proverbs to be a blessing and to understand kingdom and kingdom life, which is basically what we're talking about. And I really want everybody to understand, Betty, that we're talking about spiritual gravity. We're talking about the weight of God's presence affecting everything we do. And most people don't even recognize that as a reality. Important to do it. Believing God, praying God's word, we want you to have the Kingdom Life Journal. We're asking you to prayerfully consider helping us drill fresh water wells in some of the most desperate areas on this planet. And I know you're going to want to have a part in that. Here is Beth Moore. Enjoy her teaching.
What happens when what comes naturally to others has to come supernaturally to you? I've come just begging you to see a new scriptural paradigm. Not cursed are you, girlfriend. Blessed are you. Not cursed are you, guyfriend. Blessed are you. When what takes natural course with someone else means that a miracle has to take place for you, you have just seen something that's going to mean something to you and mean something to those around you that other people will never even get. Never even get. I got to tell you, I've got a friend that I admire so much, a young woman back in the Houston area who has a son with autism. And he, like many children with autism, just did not speak. And it was one of the ways they knew fairly early on that something was up. He came to 2 years old, did not speak, came to 3 years old, did not speak, came to his fourth birthday, and still had not spoken. And I'm going to tell you, at about 4.5 years of age, I get a text from her that said, "He said daddy today." Awesome. And I mean, he was 4.5 years old and said daddy. Listen, nobody on the planet has ever had that much celebration take place over daddy. Nobody. I mean, you cannot imagine how all of her friends, how all of us just shouted praise to God. Other kids have been saying it all day long. We've not even noticed. But we noticed when this one did. Because somehow what had been a natural course for somebody else had taken supernatural power of God. And they said, "Let his name be praised. Let his name be praised." What seems effortless to some takes a miracle for others. But I've never met anybody that didn't say afterwards they wouldn't have rather had the miracle. Right. I mean, really, are you going to trade back the miracle for the natural? Really? Truly? Truly? Because when it's all over with, you are going to say, "I'd have rather had the miracle." I know it's hard to see now. I know it's hard to imagine now, but that is going to happen. That is going to happen for you, and it is going to happen for me. I think it's just so remarkable in the passage that we're told that he's going to name the child John, and that name means Yahweh is gracious. Yahweh is gracious. I want you to see something here in verse 14. It says, I had you look at it for just a moment. "He'll be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth." A joy and a delight. The word joy is the word that you think it would be. It means joy just like you think it does. But the word for delight is a word that means to just leap and dance and jump up and down for joy. That's what takes place when you experience a miracle. And I mean, anything else might have been just thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. But every now and then, when something that just came naturally for everybody else comes supernaturally to you and it happens, and I mean like there is dancing and there's leaping and there's celebrating and you wouldn't trade it for anything. Look back at Luke chapter 1. Tell me, we made 2 points so far and our audience on the other side of the screen needs to catch up with us. So what are they? And then I want to hear the third one as well. First one was what? We got to be open to a fresh encounter. The second one was? Bring our disappointments to the altar. He already knows. Part of authenticity is we just go, Lord, I'm like, I don't get this. I'm just devastated over this. Why this? And what was number three? You got to believe God has heard you. We got to believe when we pray that we are being heard. Now pick up in verse 18 and through 22. Oh, this gets so good right here. So He gets this message from the angel Gabriel, and I mean, Gabriel is an awesome, terrifying sight. Verse 18, Zechariah asked the angel, how can I be sure of this? What an idiot. Can I just... I'm sorry, but like, this dude doesn't look like any dude he's ever run into, ever, ever, ever. This is Gabriel. He says, I'm an old man, and my wife, you know what he's trying to say? Have you seen my wife? I mean, and it offends me. I get what the dude's trying to say. I'm an old man, and my just take a look at my wife. It says in verse 19, the angel said, because he's asked, how am I going to be sure of this? And look at what Gabriel says. I am Gabriel. I mean, don't you know? I mean, he's wanting to go, comma, you idiot. I mean, there's almost that like, I'm Gabriel. That's how you know. I stand in the presence of God. One reason why it was such a terrifying sight is because he stands in the presence of God and he has that radiance on him. See, he has that mirror, that light so shining on him that like the face of Moses when he came down from the mountain and it just scared the rest of them half to death and he had to cover it up. Well, Gabriel's got that shining, that radiant face because not his own radiance, not because anything in him is light, but because he receives his light from the one true God. I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. I mean, he's offended. And I've been sent to speak to you, to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens. That is a whoops if you'll ever see one. Because you did not believe my words, which, by the way, will come true at their proper time. Now, I stuck in that, by the way. But listen, what I love here is that he doesn't take his word away. He said, that word's still going to come true. Because it wasn't based on you, that word's still going to come true. But you know what? You're not going to say it one single word until it happens. And so now there, he comes out. They're waiting to be blessed because he would normally come out and do some version of, if not exactly, the number 6, 24 through 26. It says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. He would have done all that. But so he comes out then. I want you to notice. I want you to pick back up with me. It says that in 21, the people were waiting for Zechariah, wondering why he'd stayed so long in the temple. And when he came out, what does it say? No, he couldn't speak to him. And they realized he had seen a vision in the temple. I love this. For he kept making signs to them. So he goes out, I mean, just like, I mean, now his face, like, and I mean, by this time he's already tested and nothing's coming. So he comes out to give his blessing, and I mean, like, he's only got a couple of responsibilities. He's kindled the altar, the coals on the altar, and now he's got to go out and bless people, only he's been struck dumb, he can't say a word, so he goes out, and he begins holy charades, like, you know, like this. Like this and this and then this, you know? Is anybody going there with me? So he acts out the whole blessing right in front of them. It just, there's something, that's just too good, isn't it? That is just too good. All right, I just got to show you. Now, what I want you to see 23 through 25 now. It says, when his time of service was completed, he returned home. Now, he returns home. She goes, hi, honey. He goes, because I mean, he's been struck dumb. Anybody getting that with me? Hi, honey. And he can't go, honey, I'm home. He has to go, you know, honey, I'm home. And so after this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. The Lord has done this for me, she said. In these days, he has shown his favor. There we go. She said, you know, we're all loved by God, but I'm his favorite. We're favor of God and taken away my disgrace among the people. Okay, look at this. How long did she stay in seclusion?
5 months.
Okay, you gotta love this. Now, for any of us who have had children in the natural course of a pregnancy, we can figure out why it's 5 months. Because listen to me, again, I don't want to be graphic, but I want you to understand the timing here. Because she had no cycle left. How is she supposed to know whether it happened or not? Because hers took place, even though a miracle is taking place, there's still the normal husband and wife relationship here. This is not Mary we're talking about here, who was given a baby by the power of the Holy Spirit. There's a miracle taking place here, but it's working in the natural means of a husband and a wife coming together. And then now, so how's she to know? How's she to know when? And so she has to wait until she has physical evidence, because the normal physical evidence that a younger woman would have would not be there. So she's got to wait the thing out. What happens for any of us who have done this before? What starts happening by 5 months? You can feel that baby move. By that time, you can lay flat on your back and you can rub your hand over your abdomen and you can feel that you have a little pooch. Now picture this old woman. Please love this with me. Please love the Lord with me over what He did for her. Picture her just laying back. You know that she did it. Don't you know that she tried to wear her robes tight into town so people could see? You know, because I don't know about you, but in my pregnancies, I wanted people to know I was having a baby and not just a lot of Mexican food. I wanted people to know that. So I just loved it. Once I got a little pooch, I might hold my skirt back a little bit like this because I want. And so she's doing all this. So she doesn't even go out until she knows, until that baby has life within her, until she's had those kinds of responses and that kind of manifestation. It is the dearest thing. When I imagine that woman going through the birth process and I imagine those tears flooding through those lines around her eyes like rivers of living water down her face. Do you think that she would have given up that miracle for the natural, for anything in the world? Can you imagine a more spoiled brat? Y'all, can you even picture how much they loved that child, how everything he did? No one had ever done it like that in all of the world. He was a joy and a delight to them their entire lives. I want you to take down number 4. Blessed are you when what comes naturally to others comes supernaturally to you. Blessed are you. Blessed are you when what comes naturally to others comes supernaturally to you. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Let me tell you something. In that verse 25 where it says this, the Lord has done this for me, that's what He's looking for. If you've ever wondered what really is glory, that we're to live to the glory of God, it's the testifying that it was only God that could have done it. When we live to the glory of God, we show His godness living through us instead of ourselves. And He's just living for us to say, the Lord has done this for me. The Lord has done this for me. I just want you to know this didn't just happen by natural means. The Lord my God has done this for me. That is the thrill for Him on the throne. That is where we see the favor of God in the delight of His response. The favor of God to say it had to have been Him. I want to show you something. I want you to look forward to verse 57 of that same long chapter, Luke chapter 1, verse 57. I got to show you this because I thought it was such a thrill. It says in verse 57, when it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she did give birth to a son. And her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy and they shared her joy. It said they were going to. She just couldn't wait. There's something, you know, men, I don't know if you're the same as women are about this particular thing, but we want people to just join in with us. Like it's not enough for us to have the joy by ourselves. When the parable is told about the woman that finds the coin, the treasure that she has lost, she gets all her girlfriends, tas philos, it says in Greek, and that means the girlfriends. She goes and tells her girlfriends because she wanted them to celebrate with her. And it's just kind of a woman thing. It's not enough by ourselves. We want to share it. And so she shares it with her neighbors and relatives that God has shown her this great mercy. And they shared her joy. And in verse 59, it says this, on the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child. Now, on the eighth day was the day they pronounced the name. So throughout this time, even though they might know what it was going to be, but on the eighth day, the name is pronounced. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him after his father, Zechariah. Now, first of all, I want to ask you, who is they? Anybody that's had this struggle in your family over who you're going to name your child after? Oh, my word. Especially if you are the first one, if you have the fortunate and unfortunate situation of being the first to give the grandchild to the grandparents, the first grandchild in the family, you're going to have a lot of pressure with names. It seems like you wouldn't, but there's just this underlying thing, and boy, was it true here. They were going to name him after his father. Who is they? It's not them to name him. And yet we see it all over. This is the family thing here. These are the relatives here. They were going to name him after his father, Zechariah, but his mother spoke up and said, no, he is to be called John. And they said to her, this is priceless, verse 61, there is no one among your relatives who has that name. You can't name him that. There's no one in the family that has the name John. And then it says this, this is maybe the most perfect moment in this whole portion of the end of this mid part of Luke chapter 1. Would you look at this? It says, there is no one among your relatives who has that name. Then they made signs to his father to find out what he would like to name the child. Okay. Wait a second. Because he's not deaf. He's just dumb. Can anybody get that with me? It just kills me that down there doing all the hand motions, because all pregnancy long for 9 months, he's been doing a lot of this. So they do it back, J or Z. I mean, they're all doing this. Well, it says then, all of a sudden, he asked for a writing tablet. This just kills me too. To everyone's astonishment, he wrote, his name is John. His name is John. Can't you just see his face like, his name is John. Immediately, his mouth was open. Do you know, it had to open at that moment. Because it was like, your mouth won't open until it's born. Well, 8 days later, I mean, nothing. But when he says, his name is John, girlfriend, guy friend, that is a power of a name right there. Immediately, his mouth was open and his tongue was loosed and he began to speak, praising God. And the neighbors were just all filled with awe. And throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about all these things. And everyone who heard this wondered about it, asking, what then is this child going to be? For the Lord's hand was with him. When that child took so much more than everybody else's, you have to ask yourself, if you're a woman or a man of God, what on earth? When a kid has gone through leukemia as a child and God's brought them out on the other side and let them go through something that we think with our rational human minds a child ought never have to suffer, then might we ask, what on earth does God have in mind for this child? If it took supernatural means to do a natural thing, what on earth will God do? Blessed is he. Not cursed, blessed is he.
To obtain information on Beth's teaching materials and for her speaking schedule, visit us online at lifetoday.org.
Ooh, I tell you, there really is a blessing in a name. You know, my mother thought I was going to be a girl, and she named me Joy. I've always said I'm glad she came up with James, because living with the name Joy would have been a tough enough journey. I already had a pretty tough one not having a father. But my mother really believed that I could help bring joy to the world. And you can too, by sharing the source of joy, and that is relationship with Jesus. I want you to look at a child that really is a portrait, an image, a picture of so many children. Betty, you've not seen this yet, but you're going to see a child holding water that is so polluted it looks like milk. I want you to watch this, and then, you know, I've got right here in front of me a cup of fresh, clean water. And that's something that we can do for a child like the one you're about to see and so many others represented by this one. Would you give a cup of water? I want you to look and see if you're not inclined and inspired and moved to say, I will. Watch closely. More than one missionary has said, please help us stop burying our children in our country. Betty, that little child was holding what looked like milk, but it was actually water. And I sometimes feel like there's nothing I could say that would be adequate to inspire the kind of action necessary to drill another 400 wells, more than 400 in 15 different countries. To give a child like that a drink of water. I hope you don't ever think that, well, they're just little nameless people, not to God. They're precious in His sight. Betty, when you think about what could we say or do to help people realize the importance, what comes up inside your heart?
Well, as I was watching that and I saw that little child holding that cup of water in it, but like James said, it's so contaminated. I'm thinking every time that cup gets closer to that child's lips, it's death. It's bringing death. And I think that child is going to drink that water because that's all they have. But we have an opportunity. You and I, and many others, if we will join together and say, let's drill the wells. Let's give them a choice of clean water so that their little lives may have an opportunity to grow up strong and healthy.
I've told you every time we drill wells that we, years ago, decided we'd drill a well. Every time the mission projects come from our missionary overseers and they say, would you drill here? And then we make that emphasis. Betty and I ask the Lord to enable us. I got to tell you, it's been one of the greatest joys and blessings. And you say, well, God give you a bunch of stuff because you did. Oh, man, we gave those kids life.
Right.
We got the joy of knowing that we put an oasis of life in the center of their community. And we were able to do that. If you can drill a well, you will find what all of our viewers who've ever responded that way said. It's one of our lifetime joys. And many of you say, you know, we like to do that every year. We make it a goal. But there are many of you who say, James, I couldn't do that. Well, could you give a portion of a well, 1,200 or 2,400, and then ask God to raise up three others to join with you with 1,200 or another person to join 2,400? Whatever you can do, do it. But here, please don't miss this. Think about what I'm saying. Your gift of $144, it'll give 30 people water for the rest of their life. A gift of $48 will give 10 people water the rest of their life. There's some level at which you could participate. Would you help 10 people, 20 or 30 people? We want to send you the incredible devotional, the Kingdom Life Journal, that you can journal the thoughts that God gives you with Psalms and Proverbs to bless you. And I think it's very important to journal and write what God puts on your heart. We're sending the Heart of the Father bronze to those of you who'll give 1,200 or 2,400 or give a well. To say thank you for sharing the love of the Father in His heart. Whatever you can do, we ask you to dial that number, take your bank card, use it like a check, or you can go online, lifetoday.org, and many of you are doing that, and make that special gift today. But whatever you can do, if you want to make a check, make it to Life, but call us, please, today and tell us what you're putting in the mail and make the gift God puts on your heart. Thank you. Thank you so much for responding.
Every day, millions of children are forced to make a dreadful choice: drink filthy, polluted water filled with deadly disease, or die from thirst. No child should ever be faced with this decision. The good news is that there is a solution. Mission Water for Life is one of the most exciting and viable demonstrations of God's love in the world today. The suffering can end because clean water changes everything in life. With your support, we will drill 415 new water wells in remote villages in 15 different nations. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 people. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10 people. $72 will reach 15 people. And $144 will help provide fresh, clean, disease-free water for 30 people for a lifetime. In appreciation for your gift to help drill these new wells, be sure to request the Kingdom Life Journal. This beautiful leather-bound prayer devotional includes both Psalms and Proverbs, as well as a place to write your own reflections as God speaks to you through His Word. Also, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well. And you may request the journal as well as our beautiful commemorative bronze sculpture, Heart of the Father. Please call, write, or make your secure gift online today.
If there's any way you could help us drill a well by making that $4,800 gift, please do so. Heart of the Father bronze. Thank God for these incredible artists who say, we want to bless you with a treasure, a collectible, a discussion piece, where you can tell people about sharing the Father's heart. If you can make the $4,800 gift, or $1,200 or $2,400, tart it and pray another or three others join you, please do so. And Betty and I just say thank you for helping us. And by the way, whatever gift you make, it's going to make a difference for 10 children or 20 or 30. Please don't take any gift lightly, because you're giving the greatest gift, you're giving life. And Betty and I say thank you so much for that.
We've got to speak the truth, and we've got to speak it in season, out of season, whether it's popular or whether it's not popular.
Tomorrow, Lisa Bevere empowers women to become the lioness arising. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.